there are two wolves in our heads. One wolf thinks it's bullshit terrible. And the other wolf...
And the other is Dick Wolf, the creator of Law and Order.
Chunk, chunk. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. Who wants to live forever?
I do.
Who dares to love forever? When love must die. Jeff, we believe in immortality on this podcast.
We're working on it. We're trying hard.
By we, I mean the human race and not us. This is the royal we that we're using.
Yeah.
The scientists who work under us as scientists that work for humanity and us as humans and therefore the bosses in charge are working on immortality as we speak. Even when we don't know we're working on immortality, we're working on immortality, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. We're trying hard not to die because even though as a society, as Americans, the most people think death is not the end, everybody secretly knows death is the end.
Hey, we're coming to a realization as a society right now.
Yeah.
And that realization is you got one go.
Yeah.
You got one go. And hey, I think that go should last like forever.
Yeah. How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? Robots? Are we going to download our brains into robots? Are we going to bioengineer our bodies to keep moving on? Are we going to replace parts like the ship of Theseus? What are we doing?
I'll do any of it. I'll do any of it. Up to and including becoming a horrible monster. We've talked about, like, I don't care.
Actually, you prefer the horrible monster part.
Listen.
Step one, monster.
Is it better to be loved or feared, Jeff? That's the question. And
I mean, is it mutually exclusive?
No. I mean, and we definitely don't kink shame here on the podcast. So I would become, you know, Jeff, in that final scene in the 1980s version of The Fly where Jeff Goldblum comes out of the pod and we finally see what The Fly is.
Yeah.
And he's like, he puts the gun up to his own temple and is like, yeah. Gina Davis, I can't be this Gina Davis. I can't do this.
Yeah.
If I knew that I could be that fly forever, I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
You're I don't know.
I'm totally good with this, Gina Davis. As long as I can live forever.
Don't help me. So there are scientists that are working on this very, very thing, Jeff, turning me into a disgusting fly. And thank you for doing this, scientists. No, there are scientists that are working towards immortality. And what if I told you for a lot of these scientists, Jeff, immortality was a byproduct. It was the second prize. It was the participation trophy of what they're doing. Mm.
First prize is love?
First prize, of course, is always love. Or a 3-day, 2-night stay in the fabulous Honolulu Hilton.
Oh, my goodness. First prize.
So here's the thing. There's a Japanese research team at Juntendo University, which is, of course, right across the street from Nintendo University, where Dr. Mario studied.
Yeah.
And there's a team there that has confirmed that they have created a vaccine to remove zombie cells that accumulate with age and damage.
Wait a minute. Zombie cells?
Oh, buddy, have we not talked about zombie cells before?
These are the cells made popular in the smash hit television show Walking Dead.
Zombie cells are what
cause the symptoms of aging, right? The external results of aging.
Absolutely. They're referred to as senescent cells. Mm-hmm. And what happens is these are cells that have stopped dividing, which is all cells are supposed to do.
Come on. They have one job, cells.
You have literally one job. And you literally you literally double your own workforce and divide it up immediately. So what's the problem, cells? Yeah. But senescent cells have stopped dividing, but whereas most cells that stop dividing will die, senescent cells do not. Mm. And as we age, more and more of these senescent cells happen.
And this is why we have things like aches and pains and is that right?
This is why we have everything. This is why we have
aging stuff.
Everything that happens with aging, because this means that you are no longer, your cells are no longer firing on all cylinders, right? Like they're not doing the healthy job that they need to be doing. So, I mean, it's everything from wrinkles to hardened arteries to gray hair. I mean, all of it comes from the buildup of these senescent cells in your body. So if we can eliminate senescent cells and stop them from building up and keep only healthy cells in the body,
we forever can... young for ever young.
Oh, you go Rod Stewart forever young.
Yeah, baby.
You don't go Alphaville forever young.
No, man. You gotta go Rod Stewart.
Really? Fascinating. But here's the thing. These scientists at Juntendo, first of all, these scientists at Juntendo University, in between, I would imagine, games of Tetris and Donkey Kong and whatever else they do there.
Yeah. By the way, Juntendo is the university that my mom thinks it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? We got you a Juntendo, and you're just like, oh, no.
My you son, got he got into the Juntendo University.
He said he wanted a Juntendo, so I got one from this cart at the mall. It says it has 500 games. It says it has five, what? This isn't the Juntendo we wanted? It says right on the box, Juntendo Entertainment System.
I love you, Mom, but this is the worst Christmas ever.
Yeah. It's a Juntendo 63. Is that not what he wanted?
It's superb Juntendo.
So basically, not only do these cells not do their own work, they damage healthy cells by releasing chemicals that cause inflammation. And like you said, this causes buildup and causes all the problems. This team at Juntendo has created a vaccine. They administered it to mice, and they showed that it decreases the number of zombie cells and also immediately helped areas with arterial stiffening, like heart disease.
So, this is incredible. So they created young mice out of old mice, but... This is the side effect of aging. It is not going to stop death, right? We're not creating immortal mice.
No.
We're just creating young mice until they keel over?
Well, and yeah, and I mean, here's the idea. I mean, look, if you reverse aging these mice are potentially going to live longer. But like I said, that's not what these scientists are in it for.
What are they in it for?
These scientists are in it because when you think about the treatments that we give for things like cancer agents, right? Heart disease.
Yeah.
The current medications and vaccines that we give to treat these problems. What's one of the things that's a problem with chemo? We all know just a little bit about chemo, but one of the things that we know about chemo is that one of the dangers is that chemo accidentally kills off a lot of healthy cells, and it can kill off too many healthy cells, right? Right.
Yeah. It's why people have such, get so sick and have such horrible time of chemo.
Right. So the problem with a lot of treatments that we have for severe things is that the treatments can be equally severe. The interesting thing about this is that those treatments were built specifically to combat the specific problem, right? We want to cure cancer. We want to cure heart disease. We want to cure things like Parkinson's and MS. And we're having a hell of a time doing it because they're way more complicated than we thought they were. And it turns out, Jeff, that it may be less complicated to just cure aging, which is the root cause of a lot of these problems. Aging may be easier to fix.
Wow. So this is a, you said at the beginning, this is a vaccine that combats these zombie cells.
Mm-hmm.
Is there information in the article about how it works?
Yeah. So basically, these senescent cells are highly responsible for aging-related diseases like cancer, atherosclerosis, Alzheimer's, things like that. And what we basically do is we use these things called senolytic drugs. So senolytic drugs remove these senescent cells, right? They're being studied now by the Mayo Clinic. They're being studied by people who are trying to figure out why cancer survivors have accelerated aging afterwards, all kinds of this stuff. Senolytics have these off-target effects like we were talking about. They accidentally can kill healthy cells. They can weaken the immune system. They can do all kinds of other stuff, right?
Right.
What they figured out is there is a protein that is expressed more highly in these senescent cells, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, when a protein is expressed, we know that protein expression is how cells do what they do, right? Your cell makes a protein, and that's basically an instruction set, right?
We
remember all of this from college biology, right? Where it's like, oh, proteins are basically like we're making little programs and we're figuring out what to do. And we've got our instructions and we're making these little machines and we're doing what we do. This protein called GPNBM is way higher in senescent cells. And what it does is it somehow stops our immune system from being able to clear out these zombie cells. Normally, a cell stops dividing. It dies. Our immune system comes in. We go, let's clear out all this junk. Let's make room for the good shit. These senescent cells are making this protein that for some reason is stopping our immune system from getting rid of them. And this protein is really high in senescent cells, but we don't really find it anywhere else in the body. So these scientists thought to themselves, well, that's our difference right there. Maybe if we eliminate the difference, we can safely remove these cells.
So they target the protein, and then it allows the body to flush the senescent cells out. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. And so what happens is during our aging, we build up so many of these broken cells that don't work, and it's just broken machinery clogging the system, and there's no room to put new equipment in.
And so how long can until we can put this in me? How long?
Right. So. Okay, so basically, they put this into mice that they had. Of course, Jeff, they didn't just find old mice and they were like, "Hey, old mice." This wasn't like that Twilight Zone kick the can episode, you know. This wasn't like Cocoon.
Right.
Kids, ask your parents. I don't know anything that happened after 1987 today. Apparently, but.
Going full Wilford Brimley. Yeah.
This isn't like one of those things where they collected up all these aging mice. Ponyo, when they put the old women underwater, that's a little more relevant.
There you go.
Still like 12 years old? I don't know.
Oh, easily.
So they didn't collect up old mice that were living in the old mice home and give them this youth so they could have a last mouse summer. No, Jeff, we artificially aged and sickened these mice because that's what we do in science.
Well, you know, in their defense, it's hard when you're filling out the mice order form. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get specific. You know, you're just buying them in bulk anyway, and you're just going to get what you get. And if you get old mice, young mice, it's better to just make your own old ones. Just old them up at home. You know, like you get what you get.
It's like when you hire an actor for a part. Like, it's easier, like, even they don't necessarily need to wear glasses. It's easier to give a healthy actor that can see glasses
than it is. They just put old age makeup on them.
Yeah.
They prosthetics.
They put glasses and gave them canes. It was basically like when you go see high schoolers do Death of a Salesman.
Yeah, it was that, but mice. It was like Bad Grandpa, the Jackass guy movie.
Can I tell you something, Jeff? You know that I'm not somebody who is interested in having children of my own, but I do envy you that in like 10 years, you're going to be able to go and see a 17-year-old play Willy Loman. And I miss that experience.
You can go as a single person. They'll let you in. They'll sell you a ticket.
Yeah, they'll put me on a fucking list. I just miss going and seeing high schoolers play middle-aged people.
Can I tell you the first play I ever did in my life?
Yeah, please.
It was Inherit the Wind. Mm. I played Drummond.
Okay.
I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Drummond is the lawyer arguing the Scopes monkey trial case.
Right.
I put the powder in the hair to gray it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was good times.
Were you Frederick March or Spencer Tracy?
I was Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy.
I was the guy arguing for evolution to be taught in schools. I was the hero. Hero of the piece. It's the first play I ever did, and I got the lead, and it was all downhill from there. It was like exactly what we were talking about in the pre-show, about just being told you're good at something and ruining my life.
Jeff, I'm going to remind you that if it's not that television behind you, it's the one in your living room that the Ford Motor Company paid for.
That's true.
Because you have done multiple national spots. And also...
That's true.
You were the lead in a production of one of my favorite plays ever, based on the Hitchcock film, the 39 Steps.
I love that show. Yeah, it was so much fun.
It's an amazing show. You've done a lot, buddy.
I've done a lot. I've done a lot.
You've done a lot.
I was being a little hyperbolic, but
I
yes,
know you were.
Old people playing young people.
Old people
or young
playing
people
young
playing
people
old people.
And young people playing old people. I love it both. Old people playing young people, you see way more in movies and TV, and I love that.
Yeah, it's like West Side Story. I just saw West Side Story, a bunch of 30-year-old people playing, you know, 16-year-old high school kids.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, to be fair, the original was the same, but like...
Worse. The original was worse.
The original was worse. I think Tony was like 37.
Oh, yeah. They're all Broadway actors who were like...
Yeah. It was like when they did
Dear. I gotta go play a young kid now.
It was like when they did Dear Evan Hansen, and I was like, look, yeah. I understand you want to give it to the guy who originated the role. Like Ben Platt was Evan Hansen, and I understand you want to give it to him. But like, hey, he's not 16.
It's actually creepy now.
Yeah, it's
actually creepy because he's an old man.
The fact that he was like walking around looking like an old man in that school. But anyway, yes, these were mice that were asked to play younger.
Applies to play older. They olded up the mice just to young them back down. That feels like bad science to me.
Well, remember that these are all aging related diseases. So the easiest way to study this is to just give them the diseases.
Yeah, just we can't cure your cancer if we don't first give you cancer.
What's wild is we are so good at giving diseases.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever noticed that about humanity? We are great at giving diseases to each other. We can figure out how to give a disease like that.
Yeah. It's step one, you know, and you have to do the steps in order, right? So step one is give you the disease. Step two, cure the disease. There's just a huge gap between step one and step two.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Easier to trash a hotel room than it is to clean it up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the hotel room in this metaphor is your body.
Yeah. Or the body of 1,000 mice. Can we just like, man, shout out to mice.
Shout out to mice. Mice are the MVP of this podcast.
Mice are the MVP of the universe. Mice are the MVP of everything. Mice have given it. Mice have, and they haven't given it all. We've taken it from them.
We take it. Yeah.
We take it. The mice have not. The mice have not given any consent, Jeff.
No.
There's no way.
But when we make them immortal, they'll appreciate it.
Well, once we figure out how to do it, we're not going to waste any more of it on them.
So these mice, we've seen this work in the mice. They've actually reduced the signs of aging. They're healthier, happier, running circles around their friends, playing tennis at the club.
Yes. They have found that they have eliminated these GPNMB positive cells, most of them by vaccination. They have improved aging-induced atherogenesis and metabolic dysfunction. They've eliminated normal and pathological aging. They have prolonged the lifespan of mice with premature aging.
Wow.
It has happened across the board in these studies.
Like the Steve Martin of mice, who's he's like white hair, but he's 26.
The gray hair is still there, but like you're just like, how old are you?
It's like that mouse is a wild and crazy guy.
So what they figured out was if aging is delayed or partly reversed, all of these chronic diseases go away because a lot of them are brought on by age. You know, obviously sometimes they're not. Young people can get cancer. Young people can get these other diseases, but it's much more rare. And it's entirely possible that it is also caused by a premature buildup of these cells in younger people too. So it could still help with these things.
Where do I sign up, man? Put it in my veins. Do they vaccinate you when you're young or do they vaccinate you after you're already old and you get younger?
Well, once again, Jeff, they don't vaccinate you at all because you just don't have cancer. So even when they move, I saw where your mind went.
Something's giving me cancer right now. I'm sure of it.
I saw where your mind went and I said, no, Jeff, this is not, that's beyond heist movie and into a horrible person. So don't worry. I thought it too. So basically, once this works on mice, we go to human trials, right? And we start giving this to people that have arterial stiffening, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, and we see if this improves their lives.
Right. So do we think that these effects will be dramatic? I mean, are we talking like a Benjamin Button situation here where someone's going to look younger, or is it just relief from ailments?
Dude, if we could full Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
But I mean full Benjamin Button. If
the wrong dose and you're a baby.
What happened is all babies now are born insanely old. I want a full Merlin Benjamin Button. We somehow screw this up. And we're all aging Merlin style.
Yeah.
I would love that. Like Tenet.
I like the idea of everybody who, you know, you take this and then we're all walking around like the baby from Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a full grown adult, but we're all babies. Like,
oh, let me tell you something, Jeff. If we eliminated inflammation and cancer, I think smoking would come back in a big way.
Oh yeah.
Babies no cancer, smoking but you cigars. Could smoke? Please.
Oh, amazing. Babies smoking cigars. Talking foul mouth, talking. I mean, that would be amazing. It's not that you are just immortal. It's that literally, like, after 70 years, you get reset. You take your dose. Oof. You get reset to baby. You retain all your memories, your knowledge, your faculties, but you're back to baby body, and you just have to regrow.
That's the one. That's the best way. That's the best way.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, and I hit puberty again.
Ooh, buddy. I am not interested in any of these things yet, but I know I will be in 15 years. In 15 years, I'm going to be such a horn dog.
I bet if I mean, that science fiction movie, that 15 years would be the most productive, idealistic moment in anybody's life. If you could be without any desire for procreation, sex, any of that, if you could just like be free from all of those biological urges and yet still have a full-grown adult's education experience, intention, you would be like a superhuman. You'd be
think
of all the things you could get done.
Jeff, I'm an adult right now. And urges or not, I mostly sit on the couch and worry about the world. I think adult mind and child body is such a waste of child body. Child body must come with child mind that doesn't understand.
No, I want to run free and frolic and not worry about the concerns.
You won't. The concerns are baked in.
I guess.
Once you reach adulthood, the concerns are baked in. That's what I think. That's what I think. I think it's just the reason I think it's the best way to do this is just because it's the funniest. I like a bunch of depressed existential children. You have to know this.
I know that.
I think a kid that seems way older than its age is hilarious. The same way. But here's the thing. If this life cycle is happening over and over, do you know what we lose, Jeff? We lose the joke of the breakdancing grandmother.
We gain breakdancing baby.
Or sexy or grandmother with like sexual urges, like old people talking sexy. That's not funny anymore because we'll all understand that because of our infinite rebirth.
Right.
That's not funny anymore. Rebirth.
No, it's not.
And is it worth immortality to lose the hilarity of once every 5 years there's a movie with a really good dancing grandma joke?
I mean, I guess. Well, we can still do that. You know what? We can still do that, Anthony. We can still get that joke because everybody could just put on old age makeup.
The rebirth. Oh, my God. Imagine a teenager playing Willy Loman that can actually play it.
With the gravitas of having experienced the life of Willy Loman.
Jeff.
But looks like they're 15.
You could go back and be Spencer Tracy and get it right.
My one wish fulfilled.
Can I tell you, there was this interview that I always remember with Christopher Walken, where he was like, he was already 50 at the time. And I think it was like, I don't know who this interview was with. If anybody knows this interview, let me know. But he was like 50, 55 at the time. So like, I don't know, this must have been 15 years ago. I can't think of anything more recent than 15 years ago today. But they asked Christopher Walken, what part would he really like to play? I think it was when he was playing, like, what part would you really like to play? He's like, I would love to be Romeo in Romeo and Juliet. And they
to
were like,
be or not,
and they were
not,
like,
Hamlet, sorry. Yeah. What soft, what light through yonder window breaks?
And they were like, isn't Romeo like 15? He's like, yeah, but I could play it now.
Yeah. Well, they just did, Ian McKellen just played Hamlet on stage at like 80. Which is awesome. You know, Hamlet's supposed to be 21 or whatever. 22.
I want to see that because like I just want to go see Ian McKellen live in anything.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I feel like no to Ian McKellen as Hamlet.
It is the East and Juliet is sun. Rise, fair sun, and kill the moon, who is already sick and pale with grief.
So anyway, what we're saying is Japanese scientists have created a drug that is going to revitalize high school theater.
And that's why you turn to this podcast for your news, because no one else is going to break it down like that.
No one's going to break it down like that. And hey, listen, if you appreciate us keeping it that real and going that deep into how these things work, maybe you want to support us on Patreon.
That's right. You know, just like Willy Loman, our advice is, you know, do you want to be liked or well-liked? You know what I'm saying? Mm. And you can like the show, but if we're well-liked, I suggest going over to our Patreon and showing us that you care. Even for just a buck a month, a single solitary US dollar a month, you get something cool. You get to be part of that Discord and you get to work toward our goal of 100% Patreon viewership, so that every single person who listens to this just gives us a buck a month, 100%
How hard is a 100% conversion rate in anything? It
seems
can't
simple.
Be hard.
Seems easy.
It's easy. Everybody just goes and gives a dollar. Hey, if you give a little bit more every week, say you give $3 a week, you remember that bonus episode that we had a couple weeks ago where it was or it's just a conversation between me and Jeff. That happens before every episode, every week. And that's a bonus show that you get. That's a whole other show that you get just for supporting us for $3 a month or more. We have many more.
Some would say it's a better show.
Some would say it's a better show. Some weeks it is. You're missing out on a better show. We have more rewards. As you give more, you get more. And that's going to become even more true in the new year. So head over now. Beat the rush to 100% conversion. And head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. It's the only way that we monetize this show. And shit, some months it's the only job I do. So thank you, everybody who supports.
Yeah, because we're not smart or good with money. Anyway. God. Speaking of death, Anthony.
Oh, I always am.
No, we're not the only ones that are dying. No, it's the entire planet.
Yeah.
That's really not in a good place. Let's
every living
be honest.
Thing.
Every single thing on this planet. You know, things are heating up, and that's not good.
Mm-mm.
We're heading into the danger zone, as Kenny Loggins might say.
Sure.
And guess what? There are a group of scientists who are concerned with this issue, and think that maybe if it's already too late, as a lot of people think, maybe we should just at least record everything and let folks who may be here later after the fall, maybe some other civilization that rises from the ashes, at least explain to them what happened so that maybe they won't repeat the same problems in their future.
Sure. I am Ozymandias. Look upon my works, ye mighty, in despair. Sure.
Indeed.
Sure. A black box for the human race. This is not the first time we've thought about this.
Wes, it's not the first time, but this one seems to be happening, and it has been designed and is in working order now, and it is being built in an actual black box for the human race is being built just outside of Tasmania, just outside of the city of Hobart, 4 hours outside of Hobart in Tasmania. This is a spot that has been selected for a number of reasons, for its geopolitical and geological stability, because fewer people are going to fuck with it, they think.
Sure.
Because it's kind of out there in the middle of nowhere.
I'm going to listen, if there's a black box for the human race, I'm going out to the middle of nowhere and I'm carving my initials in it.
Anthony was here.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Look upon my works with a Z.
Look upon my works. I think this is fascinating. This is an article posted on our Discord by Cahoots himself, Jeff Engelstein. Thank you, Jeff.
What is the fucking kickback that this guy gets from you?
I mean, great stories. Great stories.
I guess he gets notoriety of being a contributor to an award-winning science comedy podcast.
The notoriety.
He needs the notoriety. He needs the notoriety.
Yes,
from us, and then you get what you get illicit board games. Is that what happens?
I'm going to be honest. A board game from him did show up at my house today, but that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, cool. So he's literally only bribing one of us. Not only is this an illicit, an illicit grift.
Yeah.
But it only benefits one of us?
Yeah, one that's going to follow through on the deal.
Fucking cahoots.
Cahoots. All right, so here, check this out. This thing is actually, it's already operational, but it hasn't quite been built, but it should be built by 2022, they say. Listen to the specs on this bad boy. 10 meters by 4 meters by 3 meters. Not small. It's like a room.
Yeah.
Earth's
is this a Titan AE situation? Is this like this thing that was going to go in the Arctic that has like a sample of a bunch of living things? Is this a recording?
Nope.
Is this a hologram of all of everything recorded three-dimensionally on a cube like we've seen before? What makes this? If I was shopping for a black box for the human race, Jeff.
Yeah.
What makes this better than all the other competing products?
Well, the idea behind this one is that it is literally just a record of what went wrong. So it is just a store of data. It's got a bunch of hard drives in it. It is collecting measurements, land and sea temperatures, ocean acidification, CO2 in the atmosphere. It's going to have a list of all of the species that have gone extinct and when. They're doing things like human population measuring. They're also recording military spending in a variety of countries and energy consumption. It is also going to record contextual data like newspaper headlines, social media posts, and news from key events like the Conference of the Parties, which is a climate change meeting that happened
Wait,
this year.
This is just me. This is just me. Just this is everything that I record and think about. Just freeze me. Freeze me.
This is Anthony's journal.
I'll do it.
Anthony's Decline of the Human Race journal.
This is all I record. Why wasn't I consulted?
Yeah, it's literally, so this is a giant steel, I would say box, but it looks way cooler than a box. It's like a parallelogram. It's a geometric shape. It's sort of inclined. Mm. It's sat on top of a big granite slab, like kind of teetering over the side of a mountain in Tasmania. And it has giant solar panels on top to power the data collection inside. It's got an internet connection, and it is literally just scraping the internet for climate info every day and recording it. And it has enough storage, basically hard drive space, to record data for 50 years. They plan to update it over time if we last longer than 50 years.
Yo, can I tell you, Jeff, this is less a black box. Here's what happened to the, here's what's going on with the human race. And more, this is an I told you so from beyond the grave. This is like the responsible people of the world who are screaming this stuff every day are like, well, if we're going to die, I want everybody to know it wasn't my fault. I want everybody to know that this is who did it. This is like the most like neoliberal fucking internet concern, like social media. I told you so. We told you this was coming.
I mean, you're not wrong, but also I don't even know if I would frame it so negatively. We know what's happening. There are folks who are like, well, we may as well write it down for somebody else to see that we knew what was happening at the time, and maybe it'll warn them. There's a second reason, too, that is noted in this article, which is that they're hoping that if someone writes it down, that the people responsible will feel a little guilty.
They're writing it down every day. Not only are we writing it down every day, we're writing it at them every day.
Yeah.
They don't feel bad.
That would be some shame. No,
they don't feel bad.
Well, that is the sort of ancillary goal is, hey, there's this big symbolic thing that says, we're watching you, people who could do something about it, and you're not doing anything about it. Maybe it'll compel some folks to think about it a little differently. I think maybe that's an idealistic idea, but one can hope.
I mean, look, I'm not down on this thing. I think cool. Record, you know, we've already got the thing that shows, we've got many things that show how cool and smart and wonderful we are that we've shot into space and left behind, and we've left for future generations and future civilizations and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it is, I do think it is good not just to leave the Ozymandias statue. I think it is important to leave the, right next to it, there should be just like a little engraving that says like, hey, these are the reasons Ozymandias was a dick. You know, somebody needs to say this.
They're calling it the blueprint for a post-apocalyptic society of what not to do. Mm. Like, don't do this. And
I like that.
The idea is pretty interesting. as to, you know, what, how they anticipate it could be found and used, because there are a lot of question marks when you think about, well, who's this for? You know, are you anticipating people will be able to use the data? So they say there's no way to anticipate who will find this thing, but they are incorporating inside it a series of symbols to help people discern language. And they figure anybody that finds this thing and can access it. So part of the deal here is that it is a giant steel box. It has 7.5 centimeter thick steel cantilevered box, this giant thick steel box that's completely sealed. So part of their theory here is if you can get into it, you probably are advanced enough to be able to decipher symbols and language.
Okay. Okay.
So if you're big, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey monkey with a stick banging on the monolith, you're not going to be able to access it anyway. It's protected.
I think it's going to be corvids. I think it's going to be super intelligent, because like, they can already open puzzle boxes.
Yeah. A bunch of D&D Kenku.
Listen, we talk a lot about who we think is coming next after we're gone. I would love for it to be Kenku.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Kenku. Pretty cool. And I would love for the Kenku to open it up and just be like, oh yeah, for sure.
This tracks.
The elder Kenku will be like, oh yes. The stories of these idiots have been passed down. This data definitely matches what we know about these
morons. When I was your age, we feasted on their bones.
Oh God. Jeff.
So when I die,
I want my body to be dropped into a shark tank in front of all the people I love.
Yes. But we've covered this.
Yeah, but if they won't do that, will you have them place me like in the desert or like or somewhere where there are a bunch of corvids and just have the crows feast upon me?
Just in front of your...
Not vultures. Fuck vultures. I think vultures suck. Vultures and buzzards suck. They're idiots. Like, they eat
flesh.
I'm going
to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This feels more difficult than the shark idea.
I mean, we don't know, though. I haven't looked into it, so I'm going to say whichever one's easier. Please. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay.
But because I feel like, at first blush, the dragging you into the desert and splaying you out for the carrion birds to feast upon is relatively simple. But now you're asking me to be selective as to who I allow pluck out your eyes. And
Jeff, it's easy. You just go to a place that doesn't have vultures, but has crows and ravens. That's just geographic.
Well, I'm going to need a list.
I'll have my lawyer. I'll have my lawyer in my will put a list.
Okay.
I'll make sure you get the relevant information.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But it will be you that has to figure out which of the two is easier. That's my last request.
Yeah. No, I'm up for that. Okay. As the executor of your will, yeah. I will.
So when the corvids open this up, Jeff.
Yeah.
How is this data readable? What format is this data in?
Well, that's the sticking point, is that right now it's literally just recording stuff off the internet, but there are plans to...
To what? To a hard drive? In what format?
To hard drives. They're in a variety of languages, but they're also having a key about sort of how to decipher symbols and how to interpret language, generally, sort of a Rosetta Stone, if you will.
Right.
Of... a key, but there's also talk of stamping some tablets, some steel tablets with vital information as well, so as to make it even more less likely to deteriorate or be damaged over time.
I think that's the only way to do it, because my concern with it is, of course, what sort of drive format are we putting it on? What sort of file format are we putting it on? And will no matter how primitive it is. I mean, sometimes the problem with primitive technology is it's too primitive and you can't read it. Like, right? Like, if you've got a VHS tape right now of your home movies, where do you go?
Yes, right, exactly. That's the problem.
And God forbid you have, like, Super 8 film of your grandparents' memories or slides. And as we go even farther back, it becomes, how do we protect this data? How do we stop this data from breaking down? And how do we make sure future generations can read this data or even want to go through the trouble?
Exactly. So here's a quote. It says, we are exploring the possibility of including an electronic reader that stays within the box and will be activated. I can't speak English today. And will be activated.
We're leaving
upon
Pischetti that will be activated. So they will know how good the Pischetti was.
activated upon exposure to sunlight. So the idea is that they're going to keep the VCR in there with the VCR tapes, right? So you'll have a VCR that works, VCR that works with the VCR tapes, basically.
This is the Indiana Jones / anime / sci-fi thing of the ancient temple when you figure out how to open the door literally activates, only it's going to work.
You know, you can anticipate a very, very cool moment for some future civilization.
Oh, opens it up.
That crow invents a blowtorch and can get through that steel hide of this bad boy. They're like, whoa, this is amazing. And then they loot it and desecrate the place and sell off all the antiquities, you know?
God, that'll be. And
I can imagine.
And
I can imagine
misrepresent us. Like maybe they find human bones and they put them together wrong. I love it. I love everything about these crows.
You can imagine this is exactly what the Egyptians did, you know? Mm. And they're like, okay, we're going to build this giant pyramid, and then in order for them to even get in, they're going to be amazed about the ingenuity, and they were like, oh, let's sell it all.
We can't figure out a way in. Can we not figure out how to light dynamite? I'm sorry, did we forget how to blow things up? That's weird. Just blow it up. Oh, it turns out that the wall that we blew up had some painting on it. I don't care.
Did we get in? Can I pull out the gold inside? Hell yeah.
They had more jade back then than we have now. So go find it, dummy.
Yeah. The other cool thing about this black box in Tasmania is, though it's a drive, like I said, 4 hours outside of Hobart, kind of isolated, they're making it so that if you do drive to it, you can log on. You can interface with it and see what it is recording. You can actually drive out, have your little Wi-Fi hotspot, and check out what this thing has recorded. And you just browse its server.
The black box has Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
I could connect to the black box Wi-Fi, the humanities black box. I could connect to it and like check Twitter. could I jump on and like see my DMs from humanities black box?
Yeah, probably if you're 4 hours outside of Hobart in Tasmania, you can be like, maybe I can download
Jeff,
some porn.
I want to make a list. Yeah, could I drive out to the monolith that is recording the decline of human society and masturbate?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more poetic than that, I would guess. It's a statement.
Honestly, if I went out to a monument to the death of humanity, I might not need porn to get me going.
Yeah.
That's just me, though. And once again, we don't kink shame on this podcast, so nobody at me.
You like your black boxes like you like your sexual partners? Enormous, hard, and impenetrable.
And depressing.
Yeah, and full of negative information.
Whew. I might have to take off my sweatshirt. We might have to lose a layer. Okay. I like this. I like all of these projects, you know, but I feel like, I mean, and I guess this is the point of them. We hear about these projects They make the run of headlines, and then we don't really hear about them again. But that's by design, I think. Yeah. You know, because we're not supposed to. This is not for us. This is for whoever, whatever comes next. But I do wonder, since we've talked about some of these before, how many of these are still functional? How many of these are still running? How many of these are still working? That we've covered, you know, and because you do wonder, like, they're built to last, but what does that actually mean?
Well, the terrifying part about this is that this is only, as of right now, they say it's a completely non-commercial product. Somebody's putting up the money for this, but it is only going to record 50 years worth of data, and then it's full. Now, they say it can expand that, but the depressing part is that's all they think is necessary to record the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I see where they're coming from. And I could even see somebody, as the clock turns to 51 years and there's literally only a week left in humanity and there's no hard drive space left, I could see a Mad Max style character driving out to add a new drive to the raid before humanity ends. A Mad Max style character with a new SSD driving out to Hobart, just like fighting off everything, perhaps dying from the radiation that's in the air, and just trying to like throw it into the NAS and reboot it so there's enough space left to record the final data of humanity. Do you know what I think they should do, in all honesty? They should make it like a security camera that has like a rolling 50 years of data, right? So once something is done, because like, look, hey.
Just right over that old stuff? Just right over it?
Yeah, because like, look, I know you have children now and that forces you to be a little more optimistic and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, no way.
But like 50 years seems reasonable to me.
50 years is right when I'm about to get my mouse immortality vaccine and get beamed back into a baby body.
You're about to retire from the force, the podcast, the podcasting force.
That's right.
I mean, hopefully in 20 years, if things are still going, that's the thing, is that's why I'm asking what format this is recording in, because it sounds like it's just taking text. It sounds like it's just taking text data that you can like thumb your way through. So it might be XML. Yeah. It might be like a simple date searchable database. I think that's true.
I think it's just gobs and gobs of raw text.
I think all of that sounds really low, like really low touch in terms of the amount of data. And so for me, I actually wonder, I think the pessimism is built into the project. I think you're correct, because I think it would be easy to make something that's just recording text data record for 1,000 years right now. We have the space to do it.
You'd think. Maybe they're also recording TikToks, you know, just for like the entertainment value.
Yeah, that stuff adds up real quick when you save TikToks.
Yeah.
That'll eat up your iCloud.
Yeah, I'm sure that's, you know, yeah, we want all the climate data, but also there's some sick TikToks that our future civilizations should probably see.
We need those crows in 1,000 years to open up. You know, imagine this, a crow has been working. It's a crow with like little, it's got the little pince-nez glasses, you know?
Yes.
Because that's how crows wear glasses. And it's got like a satchel, you know, and it's been working in the desert and like, you know, it's smoking because crows are smoking at that point because they don't know any better. Yeah. And like he opens up the door, or she, I'm sorry, crows aren't sexist in the future the way I am. I was built in a sexist community. So this crow opens up everything, slides open the computer, the lights flicker on in that sort of like way, that sci-fi way that they do where they flicker three times and then it's bright. The screen comes on, everything loads, and you hear bing bong, fuck your life. Yo, what you want to tell Joe Byron right now? What's up, baby? Buy me dinner. I would love that. That's what I want to leave, is I want to leave the dumbest TikToks for future.
If we're really going to show the decline of our civilization, you got to have like some Jake Paul.
Oh,
you know,
please.
You got to have like.
Please.
You got to have some InfoWars recordings, you know, just be like, Yeah, here's the data of how the climate, how the temperature of the planet increased. And here are the fuck jobs that made it happen.
I love it. I love it. This is very cool. I think, you know, here's the thing. I think maybe it's only 50 years. Because even though it's recording things like weather data and stuff like that, that stuff stays pretty consistent. The protocols and the data transmissions for things like weather satellites stay pretty much the same. It's a low yeah. data, like it's made to survive. The data doesn't really need to be updated because we know what weather to record. But things like Twitter, social media, stuff like that, the rise and fall of that stuff cannot be predicted. So maybe it's only 50 years because, hey, who knows how we're going to have to update that database in 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, they intend to make it be able to store data for hundreds, if not thousands of years eventually. Mm-hmm. But here's my question to you.
Okay.
50 years from now, you and I are, what, 90?
Yeah.
Right, in our 90s?
Mm-hmm.
If we're fortunate enough to live to that ripe old age, do you think, do you have any optimism for how the planet is going to be in 50 years? Do you think it's a reasonable end date for all of civilization, or do you have a little optimism?
I don't think it's a reasonable end date for the entire planet and all of civilization. No, I don't. I do not think the coming 50 years are easy.
Right.
I think we are in what is either a very important transitional period to a better time that potentially comes after our lifetime,
yeah.
Or we are in a very, very, very long-term decline. I don't know which. I'm hoping it's the former. That's my downer bummer of an actual answer. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It is a scary proposition because the climate data certainly seems to indicate we are, you know, headed up to what, 2.7 degrees Celsius by that time, which is everybody says is catastrophic. The only thing I will say is 50 years ago, which is what, like 1970? I wonder if people would have had a similarly pessimistic view of the following 50 years. I mean, there was probably a lot of thought of the nuclear mm-hmm. war that we were inevitably going to be in.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, so maybe pessimism is more of a construct than it is a rational analysis.
Uh-huh.
But also the rational analysis of the climate data is pretty pessimistic. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think we also need to make sure that we are not mistaking pessimism and pragmatism.
Right.
We need to figure that out in both ways, right? Some people think they're pragmatists when they're pessimists. Some people think they're pessimists when they're pragmatists. And what we need to figure out is overall how much of this pessimistic data is actually correct, real, accurate, avoidable, you know, that sort of thing. The nice thing about this sort of pessimistic thing, this quote unquote pessimistic thinking about all this stuff is at least it is a motivator for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I think there are people who are on the most pessimistic end of it for certain reasons. I think that's because a lot of times it's activism, right? Activism can look like pessimism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem that we've had about a lot of stuff over the last couple of years is activism looks like pessimism. Things are bad for a certain group of people. And we're saying that and people are like, they're bad and they're not getting better and they're never going to get better unless we change right now. And people are like, whoa, well, they've been slowly getting better and this and that. It's like, no. This is activism. We're telling you it's not enough. And we're telling you it's staying bad. And I think there's a lot of that. Activists have to sort of project what looks like pessimism. So climate activists have to do that. I do still think we're in dire straits.
Yeah.
I don't think it's totally unavoidable, but.
And we don't get our money for nothing or our chicks for free.
No. We got to install microwave ovens for that.
Refrigerators. Color TVs.
Bing bong. Fuck your life. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let me tell you something. I've been every conversation, everything for the last couple weeks, I've just been the tag, the button on everything is bing bong, fuck your life. It is hilarious in every situation, every time. Never stops being funny.
All right.
Have you seen that? Are you familiar with the TikTok trend?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You're missing the golden age.
I'm clearly out the loop. You know, I'm in my black box of death every day. And Dave Chen just told me about a thing. He's like, there's 1.7 million videos, not views, videos about this one, the thing with the ring light where you do it at the certain part of the song.
The Infinity Challenge.
The Infinity Challenge.
Yeah.
I had never heard of that shit. I'm old. I'm old.
Let me tell you something. TikTok is a joy.
Yeah.
TikTok is a joy. Just flicking through TikTok every day is a joy for me. But this is neither here nor there. Bing bong, fuck your life. Hey, everyone. We are a couple weeks ahead as we record, not to give up too much of our OPSEC. But we do want to say happy holidays, happy new year. We hope you had a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being here this calendar year.
Yeah, we super appreciate it. We brought this back at the beginning of a very dark time in humanity. And it was a bright spot for us. We hope it was a bright spot for you. And it continues to be a bright spot for me.
It continues to be a dark spot for humanity.
Bing bong, fuck your life.